Okay, today is Friday, May 12th, 2023, and my name is Dan Call. I'm interviewing Morgan Stewart at Franklin Pierce High School. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey. I'm wondering, could you tell us a little bit, first of all, about how long you've lived in this area?
I moved to Washington in 2012 to finish my undergrad.
Oh, mm-hmm. Where did you move from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Did you notice any big differences at first when you moved here?
Yeah, the way people speak is a lot differently than okay. in Nashville. The food is very different. The weather is very different.
Nice.
Yeah.
And where did you finish your studies at?
I did my undergrad at Pacific Lutheran University, and then I did my master's at Portland State University.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. What did you study?
I double majored at PLU in anthropology and Hispanic studies. Mm-hmm. And then my master's, I did TESOL, which is teaching English to speakers of other languages.
Nice. And so you've been working here at Franklin Pierce High School for, this is your second year now,
Second
right?
year.
Mm-hmm. I am just wondering, like, have you ever witnessed any issues that have to do with race or ethnicity involving your students here at the school?
Yes. I teach multi-language learning students, and I've definitely witnessed them either not receiving the help they need or the resources and support that they need, which I think is an issue in that, and also just some of the things that I think students say to them not realizing it might hurt their feelings.
Really?
Yeah.
Could you give me, I mean, would you feel comfortable sharing an example of something
that somebody said? Yeah, I gotta think of one really quick. Mm-hmm. This actually didn't happen to the student at this school, but it happened to him at the school that he was at previously. We have a student from Africa that was called a monkey by someone.
No.
That made me pretty mad. Yeah, and just, I don't know, sometimes I think that my students get made fun of because, like, when they're trying to speak English and they don't do it the way that someone else might do it, people can be pretty harsh
right.
towards them. So they get really nervous and yeah.
So do you find yourself as their teacher then having to counsel the students, or do you have to take action sometimes to like report?
I haven't had to report anything. Usually it's more kind of just counseling, just, you know, checking in, making sure they're okay. One of the things working with high schoolers is like a lot of them don't want my help mm-hmm. and that's okay. So just, yeah, just checking in, making sure everybody's okay, reminding them how awesome they are.
Nice.
Yeah.
How does your work relate to the struggle for social equality or social justice?
I think my position especially relates to that because I tell people a lot that I'm 20% a teacher and 80% an advocate for my students. Hmm. A lot of times students, either students with special needs or students that speak multiple languages, a lot of times I don't think that schools think about them up front, which is kind of frustrating. There's been a lot of situations where like I really have to go to bat and advocate for my students and their families. I've been really disappointed in how few of our documents at school, for example, are in any language but English.
So, okay, I'm guessing I already know the answer to this question. Well, you just said, I was going to ask now, like if you could wave a magic wand and make one change. Let's take the documents. Let's say that one, because that's something you can ask Google to do or an AI now almost, right? But if there's some change that you would make, though, that you think would really take them out of the margins and into a place where they have more privilege like other students, mm-hmm. what change would you like to see?
I think that we need to start having a sense of urgency about hiring people that speak some of the languages that our students speak. For me, it's Spanish and Russian right now. I really wish that we had more people on our campus that could speak with those students, not through LanguageLink. Also, I think just providing just resources in general, like textbooks and things like that, I think in multiple languages would really help some of our students.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm looking to switch the focus maybe a little bit more towards you now. Like, what was it after you moved here to do your studies? What persuaded you to stay in this community?
My job, I guess. When I studied TESOL, I actually studied the applied linguistics track. I didn't study the teaching track. I did not want to be a teacher at all. But I got a position here as a paraeducator. And then I fell in love with the students and I fell in love with the school. And I was asked if I wanted to continue working here, but I was not making enough money. And so I was given the opportunity to become a teacher and learn how to be a teacher and become a part of the community that way. So I've stayed since then because I was thinking about moving home. But
yeah,
this works.
I'm glad we managed to keep you. No, seriously.
Thank
I
you.
Think everyone I know, too, says that you're just a major, major... assets to our school and no, you've done.
I really like this school. I think I feel very lucky to have been here. So
yeah, we've got a long ways to go still, but I think that having you here has been a big help for a lot of people. If there were something that you would like to, well, I'm wondering about the community itself too. Has Tacoma been a welcoming place for you, or has have you had some struggles or issues here, the Northwest freeze or that kind of thing?
I mean, oh, that is a thing.
Really?
So I was born in Oregon, but I grew up in Tennessee.
Okay.
It is worlds different how people act. Like I tell people, like in Tennessee, people are really, really nice to your face, and then they'll like talk about you behind your back. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, people just won't talk to you. And so it's kind of like having to decide, do you want people to be like two-faced or do you want people to be cold? I definitely am very like outgoing, and sometimes I get kind of weird responses from people because of that. Also, I call people like hun, sweetheart, babe, and stuff like that. And some people up here are not okay with that. But in the South, we pet call people. Like that's what you do. So it's just different worlds.
With regards to your upbringing and so forth, like how do you identify ethnically or culturally?
Biracial woman. My mom is very white and my dad is very black. There's just a lot of different cultures, I think, coming together, but like, I don't identify, I feel like when we had the thing this morning, like I don't really identify super strongly with another ethnicity in that respect. Mm. But I mean, just biracial and black, because that's how the world treats me regardless of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, I'm just curious now, this is really off script from my planned questions, but have you ever heard of W.E.B. Du Bois's, like his essay on double consciousness? Is that something?
I like him. I have not read that.
Yeah. Because he wrote about that. Yeah, it was a big reading in my own personal development that helped me realize, like, being part of two different racial groups, it causes a splitting of your consciousness in a way.
That is a thing, yes.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I feel like being that and then also splitting my time between the West Coast and the East Coast, or the North and the South, or whatever, because race is really different in these two places as well. And it's very interesting. Like up here, I'm very much like a black person to people, but down there, they're like, oh, she's just half white. You know what I mean? Because there's just so many more African Americans over there. So it's interesting.
So has that put you in any place ever up here where like you feel that you were being treated differently than you would have back in Tennessee? Whether at the workplace or perhaps in public or even like in a social group?
Just in that, like, so back home, everybody does that thing like, oh, like she uses big words and she's super proper and she's like a white girl. And then here, a lot of times it's, wow, you're super country, you're super ghetto. Which is really, well, I act differently here than I do with my friends, but which is just interesting to me because I'm the same person in both, but who it is that's perceiving you and how they perceive you changes, you know, which is interesting.
So. Okay. I have one more question that I really wanted to, I mean, just, I've been thinking about this one since we've kind of covered this topic about being biracial. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, like, are there any aspects of your own culture or your ethnicity for which you feel like a lot of pride? Something that, that maybe has been like really helpful to you throughout your life? Any traditions, anything like that?
I mean, I just am proud of who I am because I know that it took so many different people from different places to get me to be this person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I am like, when I think of like how I celebrate culture, I just celebrate it in general. I like, that's the thing that pushed me to do what I'm doing now. And I've been really fortunate. I've lived out of the country a couple times. I've really gotten to put myself out there and just see like how people celebrate themselves and like what they do and everything. So I've just felt really fortunate in that way. I have been trying to do more to learn about like the African-American side of my family, because I didn't grow up with them at first. Mm-hmm. So just doing that and yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording right now. Okay. And